The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Not to mention a few days off of purgatory. Really don't know exactly what the ratio is. 1 minute of listening to 1 day off purgatory. Of course, there's no time in the afterlife, so it's really hard to say. And I'm not always irritating. There are times when I'm sensitive and nurturant and empathic and understanding. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was March 5th, 2014, I think it was. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program here is The Doctor Is In. I am the doctor who is in. In as in present for your calls, not in as in cool. I left that behind a long time ago. You can be in, though, if you call 877-573-7825. I'm a psychologist, still spend some time at the office doing professional psychology-type stuff. Here on the radio, we can educate, give you a thought or two, some situation in your life that matters to you, perplexing you, frustrating you, making you feel bad. Hey, I'll pull up beside you. We'll see what we can do to figure it out. Or at least give a nugget or two. Maybe raise your IQ about 6 points so you can take it from there. Sometimes you call to help other people. That's good, too. That gets you even more days off purgatory. And generic questions, especially the interplay between faith and psychology. That's big. I really like that. And that was a large part that brought me back to the Catholic Church when I was gone for all those years. 877-57 equal is the number to call if you would like to get onto the program for whatever the reason that you wish. It's up to you. Parents who come into my office seeking some kind of discipline guidance are not usually there for the whole tribe. They don't come in and say, I'm having trouble with all three of my kids. Now, more often than not, it's one child. This is Chucky or Cujo. This child has given him more trouble. Now, maybe because of his temperament, because of his wiring. He's not that bad, but yet at the same time, they've developed bad habits in trying to parent him, discipline him. I will ask, this is one of those things they don't teach you in grad school. They just don't. This is the stuff of being in the trenches. You know, in the old days, when guys worked on cars underneath a tree, they had oil and grease under the fingernails. And these were the guys that knew what they were doing, but they learned it as they went. They didn't teach us this in grad school. And I forget when exactly it dawned on me in my career. I will ask the parent who says this child is giving them fits. Is there an older brother or sister? I don't know the exact percentage, but I think it's over 50%. They respond, yes. And nothing like this. A very sweet, mature, normal, if I can use that word, normal child. We had a few problems with bedtime, but we took care of it right away quick. And, you know, one time we stood him in the corner for 3 minutes, and that was it. We never saw the problem again. Now, he's 9 years old now. He does his homework. He's just the sweetest kid. I said, so you think that's the normal child? And they look at me as if to say, you don't? Then I will say, I don't think that's the normal child. I think God said, here, practice on this. This is the easy one. I give you some fluid parenting here. You won't hit too many bumps. And then I'll save the real kid till second. Shell-shocked second child syndrome. Not something you see in the DSM-5, not something you learn about in grad school. So, what has happened? The first child, who was a smoother parenting experience, taught them that this is what children are, and by extension, this is what parenting is. This is easy. They're God's gift to child rearing. They felt they could just reason, because this older child's amenable to reason most of the time. Or the older child is kind of self-motivated, and you don't have to worry about schoolwork. This kid's going to do it. Or the older child has naturally a more gentle approach to things, or a more mature approach to things, or a more level-headed approach to things, or a more laid-back approach to things. The second child's more pushy. Second child doesn't like no. The second child is, quote-unquote, strong-willed. Of course, he's nothing of the sort. He's just strong-willed compared to the easy child, which means he's normal-willed because the easy child is easy-willed. But what happens is the parents develop bad habits. The stuff that works so well with the older kid is slamming into a cinder block wall with the second kid. And it gets them to believe that there's something out of the norm with the second kid. The second kid is just, he's too resistive. He's too argumentative. He doesn't learn. He doesn't listen. He has to be disciplined, and then he does it 3 minutes later. What is with him? And most of the time, there is nothing with him. He's fine. He is just responding to the way they're trying to parent him, which isn't strong enough. That's all. It was strong enough for the first kid. See, on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being the strongest, the first kid needed about a 3, maybe a 2. The second kid needs a 6, which is still within normal range. But they're still parenting at 3. And that's half of what they need with this second kid. Shell-shocked second child syndrome. Yep. It's common. Happens a lot. And it happens even worse if it's shell-shocked third child syndrome. Now, wait a minute, Dr. Ray. You're contradicting yourself. You have said before that children are naturally strong-willed. So now you're going to turn around and say that somebody could have the first two children not all that strong-willed. Well, children are naturally strong-willed in the sense of they're self-centered, and they want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. Most kids are like that. That's the fallen human nature. You know this. However, they vary in how intense they are or how much they resist discipline or parenting. They vary. A lot of variance. So if you get a couple that are relatively, that's the word, easy to handle, then, in fact, anybody who isn't relatively easy to handle who comes along now is going to seem abnormally tough. So, shell-shocked second child syndrome. Your first one wasn't normal. Your first one was a mulligan round. God said, I'll give you a second shot here. First one didn't count. And be careful, because you can get cocky and arrogant. Understand this. Because that first kid could have been raised by your cat. The second kid, you better go get my book. That's all I got to say. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. I'd love to hear from you. We're going to do everything I can to get to everyone who calls, who is kind enough and patient enough to call. I'm Dr. Ray.
The not-for-profit Catholic Family Conference, Saturday, May 1st, is a vibrant event that will inspire, encourage, and fortify your family life with the truths of the faith. This year's stellar lineup of speakers includes Cardinal George Pell, Bishop Joseph Strickland, Dr. Ralph Martin, and Steve Ray. If you can't be in Irving, Texas, attend online by purchasing the Virtual Family Pass, which includes all masses and speaker sessions. It's the Catholic Family Conference, Saturday, May 1st, where the heart of society begins and ends with family. Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for calling me. I'm Dr. Ray Grande. Not a real doctor. PhD. Permanent head damage. Jason called before about his kids being hooked on phones as opposed to hooked on phonics. I advised him to get one of his books, but apparently he didn't. He didn't. Because he said, no, I don't spend that kind of money. I just need a quick and dirty answer to my problem. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. How are you, Doc? Thank you so much for what you do.
Did you buy the book or didn't you?
Well, I got the book. I'm not one of those Barnes & Noble just want the real deal. You know what I mean?
All right.
To hear it from you to say, okay, I mean, you know, if it's the down and dirty, book can translate, you know, it's like reading anything, whether it's the apologetics or a Bible, whatever, but it's got to translate in the real world, in reality, living an upside down world. You know, you just rip it out of their hands and you go through the process and you go through the mental breakdown there's got to be, I'm just looking for us all. When I say the audience and parents are like us who are really concerned as not only as Catholics, but the future of the kids as they move forward. I mean, do you just kind of abrasively follow your steps and say, okay, it's a harsh world, but this is how it's going to be. It's going to go down.
Here's what I'm hearing you say.
Easier said than done.
Now, Jason, here's what I'm hearing you say. And I am allowed to say, here's what I'm hearing you say, because I'm professionally trained to say, I'm hearing you say. The average person says, I'm hearing you say, they could hurt themselves. But I know how to say it and to time it. I am hearing you say that on one hand, as you perused your way through the book, you said, well, I'm going to have to take a strong stand. I'm going to have to set up my terms. On the other hand, though, however, is it just so straightforward as to saying, nope, nope, can't do it. Here's my interests. Here's my reasons. And live with it, kid. Without attempting to get them to understand and perhaps accept. Now, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So I did hear you say, right. You would like,
yeah,
and I remember you called about your kids being hooked on their phones. And yeah, it sounded like, if I remember correctly, you were saying, I let it get away. It just got too much of a momentum. Too much. Way too much. And so I'm readjusting, and I want to readjust, and they're going to go crazy. Is that also accurate?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Have they gone crazy on you yet?
Yes, they have, in a way.
They hate you?
It's just that they're... for many reasons. In terms of, if it's eating, trying to eat healthy food, they're 16 and 14. So, but they're not disobedient in the sense that they're. But I just feel like that they're, I'm hearing it from other parents and relatives and stuff that their kids are about their same age as ours, that they're going through the same thing. Is that, this is not like quitting cigarettes. Probably worse than quitting cigarettes. Maybe, you're.
Are they telling you, Jason? Are they telling you, Jason, this is normal for this age? This is what they do. Are they telling you that?
Oh, there's truth to that. Yes, absolutely.
Well, it may be normal, but that doesn't mean it's good.
No,
it would be perfectly normal for one of your kids to get so locked into their phone that when you realized as a parent, this is way out of hand and I'm going to cut it back, it would be perfectly normal for that kid to be very angry, very upset, very resentful, and perhaps to get sneaky and deceptive. That is perfectly normal. It's not good. It's normal. Sin's normal. So I think what you're saying is, how do I get my kids to understand? Well, the first thing you do is you'll have no chance at getting them to understand if you do not set limits. If you say, if I try to tone this down now, after all this time, it's too late. Well, if you're going to say that, then just give them the car keys. Give them the keys to the house, and hopefully you and your wife can live there if they let you. But on the other hand, if you say, I've let this get out of control. I got to do something about it. And I recognize that if I do something about it, all heck's going to break loose. It is. However, I cannot stand by and allow my child to go in this direction. This is not good. As a matter of fact, this is badder. Excuse my grammatical miscue. This is worse than allowing them, than setting the limit. Because the direction they're going is just only going to get worse. So it's not an easy answer, Jason. I'll share with you a personal experience. When my daughter was 16, she was the youngest one. We let her get a phone under very strict circumstances. Took her about 9 minutes to misuse it. So we took the phone. And we said, you're just not ready yet. So what did she do? Well, her friends gave her a phone. Of course. That's what they're going to do. Because her friends think that any parent who has limits is a psycho parent. Okay, we found that phone. We took 5 phones from her. How did she react? Not good. Not good. However, it would have been worse if I'd have just simply let her do whatever she wanted with that phone, which was not going to happen. So I guess what I'm telling you is, if you realize as a parent that you need to regroup because you allowed things to go in a bad direction and you didn't realize it at the time, then when you stand your ground, brace yourself. Recognize you're going to have to take some heat. Recognize that the kids could react badly. And recognize that you're probably doing the better thing than just to let it continue on the way it was. And you're going to have all these other parents. I'm telling you, you're going to have all these other parents looking at you and saying, boy, I don't know, you're just making them rebellious. Boy, I'll tell you what, you're not within the cultural swing of things at all, Eric. Or Jason, sorry. So those are my thoughts, Jason. I mean, I can give you a lot more, but they're in the book. So
Are you, can you hear me?
Yeah, one more.
Okay, I just know, I was just going to say that, how do you, when do you monitor their well-being and health in terms of, okay, you're going to only allow it 2 hours a day, an hour a day.
Well, that's your judgment. And, that's your judgment basis, based upon their trustworthiness. There's no formula for that. You have to decide. You know, we had one kid, we gave him a phone, and he handled it very, very, very well, very trustworthy. And we have another that almost immediately misused it. So it all depended. We had some kids we let drive at 16, and others we didn't let drive till 18. And sometimes the younger kids were driving before the older kids. Why? Well, because the older kids weren't trustworthy enough, in our judgment. So that's what you do.
So,
you make that judgment.
So I'm probably past where we're, some of us are, well, at least I'm speaking for ourselves, our family. In our situation, it's the reaction is going to be really a lot worse because we've allowed it to go on and fester. And so their addiction is there. So to wean them off and to take it away from them, you're saying it's all going to be fine, and it's normal to have the uprising, the mutiny, the whatever, and just stick to your guns.
I am not going to tell you, Eric, or Jason, I don't know why that Eric name is up there. I am not going to tell you to do that. That's your decision as a parent. I am saying that if you choose to do that, you better brace yourself for it. That's, and by the way, you are typical of parents who come to my office when they have a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kid, and they say, I have miscalculated badly. The situation is now untenable. What do I do? I said, well, you got a couple of options. One, you just continue to live with it as it is and try to find some compromises you can both agree on, which doesn't usually work because the kid doesn't want to compromise. Or you can say, I'm going to start pulling back on the freedoms. And then if you do that, be ready, because you're going to run into troubles. You are. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to, perhaps a kid will run away. Perhaps a kid will do what my daughter did, which is to get three phones fall for friends. Okay? God bless you, Jason. Good luck. All you parents listening, take a lesson from Jason. The number one reason, and I got to get to your calls, please. Forgive me for, I don't want to ignore the folks up there waiting patiently. The number one reason parents go against their gut, their best judgment, is they look around them and they put their finger to the wind and they see the direction the culture is going, the kinds of freedoms that kids have at early, early, early ages, with technology especially, but also with social. They see this. They don't want to get too far out of step with that culture, because if they do, they get grief from their own parents. They get it from the grandparents. They get it from relatives. They get it from sisters. They get it from people around them. They get it from people that they thought they trusted, that they thought were on the same wavelength religiously as they were. And all of a sudden, their resolve, it starts to evaporate. And then they compromised a lot of what they didn't want to compromise, but they were hoping it would work out. Sometimes it does, but most of the time it doesn't. And then they're caught. Now what do I do? It's kind of like having a serious illness. In the initial form of the symptoms, if you would have gone to the doctor, you would have caught it. You would have said, okay, we can do things. But because you didn't go to the doctor, why? Because you're afraid to go to the doctor, or you were lazy about going to the doctor, or you just assumed it was kind of just sort of going to go away. By the time you went, now the medicine is much stronger and perhaps less effective. All right. I got to get to those calls up there. I'm Dr. A, the program here. Doctor is in. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. If you would be so kind as to call, I will try to be kind in my response. That's going to be a lot harder. It's easier for you to be kind to call. I have to go against my nature.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The Catholic Catechism tells us the gifts of the Holy Spirit sustain us in a moral life. They are a permanent disposition, making man docile to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are seven in number: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. They are seen in their fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are perfections the Holy Spirit forms in us as first fruits of eternal glory. They are charity, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Doing the show with one eye closed. Make it a little tougher. Some people would say, why can't you do the show with your mouth closed? That'd be better. I hate when my wife says that. Kelly from Copperas, I think that's right. Copperas Cove, Texas. Kelly, am I pronouncing that right?
Copperas Cove.
Copperas Cove, Texas. All right. Well, my dear, you're going to have to give up your morals.
I can't do that.
Oh, all right. So, can I find out what it is that you and your sister collided on morally just recently? You there, Kelly? Oh, what happened? Kelly gone? Oh, that's too bad. I think she'll be back. Usually when that happens, it's usually a cell phone drops. Stasha from Snyder, Texas. Stasha, this is going to be piggybacking upon my call with Jason, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, when you did, was that your phrasing when you said, how do I approach my teenagers and their privacy? Was that your phrasing?
Yes, it was.
That means, how do I get them to understand what I'm going to do?
I don't know if that's the question. Maybe ultimately, I'm more kind of in the thick of the situation which happened last night. Which was me opening up his bedroom door. He had a chair up against the doorknob to shut it and prevent me from coming in.
Ooh.
Which he's only done twice before.
Mm.
So he was supposed to be in bed. I saw that his light was on, and I knocked on the door and kind of pushed on it a little after I knocked. And I could see him sitting in bed. He was up on his phone with his headphones on. And I said, what are you doing? And he said he was trying to go to sleep. And I immediately was just like, no, you're not. And so I pushed the door open. He started to get really angry and told me not to come in. Please go away, Mama.
You get really angry like that when you're trying to go to sleep. with your headphones on. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's real common. So you didn't buy it, Stasha, right?
Right.
Do you think this is the first time that he's secretly used that phone to maybe be with a girl or to visit sites?
I'm sorry, Dr. A, could you say that one more time?
Do you think that this is the first time that he has used that phone secretly, that he didn't want you to see what he was doing or who he was talking to or where he was gone or what he was downloading? Do you think that was the first time you just happened to walk in and catch him?
Oh, definitely no.
Okay.
A bit of information that might be helpful is that he lives with his dad a few miles down the road, and we are recently divorced. He came to my house because he likes it here, but when I pushed the door open and wouldn't go away and insisted to know what he was doing and made him angry, he got up and packed his stuff and said, "I'm going to dad. I don't trust you. I don't feel safe with you if you're going to barge in my room like that."
Mm-hmm. So, I hope, Stasha, you didn't feel guilty about that.
I feel sad that it happened, but I don't feel guilty.
You didn't do anything wrong, you know.
Yeah.
How old is your son?
He is 15.
15. And he got that phone from his father or from you?
From his dad.
Mm-hmm.
From his dad. When he moved in with his dad in the summer, he was asking for a phone for his birthday. And before his dad could get him one, I got him a Gab phone because I was afraid he would, you know, his dad gives them whatever they want. Like, literally, whatever electronic they want, he gets it for them. And I was so scared of, you know, because he's the second child with a phone, my first.
Stasha, you want the bad news?
Yeah, just tell me, like, what
you're
am
not
I going to do?
You're not going to be able to compete with his dad.
Even if I am more loving, attentive, and buy him clothes when he needs them, and
if you are the more reliable parent, because dad's the Disney parent, over time, I believe he'll come to see that. In the short term, it's likely that he will say, "I'm not coming over to her place. What? She barges in my room and tries to take my phone? Get out of here." That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
Okay. You know better than I do. You live with this young man. I base this upon having seen, of course, countless situations like this where the Disney parent wins the kid over. And the more responsible, moral parent, the more grown-up parent, can't get through to the kid because the kid's attitude is, "Hey, I got a choice here, and you ain't my choice." What I would suggest is that you tell your son, if you're going to visit here, here's my terms. The phone will not go into your bedroom at night. The phone will be on the counter after 7 o'clock. That's my terms. And he'll say.
And if he says no.
Oh, I know what he'll say. He won't. You know what? He won't, Stasha, he won't just say no. He'll want to slap you emotionally. You won't see me anymore. Then forget it, Mom. There's no way I'm coming here, right?
You are so spot on, Dr. Ray.
Well, you have to have the strength and courage of your convictions.
Oh, I can. I just want to know it's the right thing.
Well, you know, I can't tell you what to do with your kid. But I can tell you on the basis of seeing this situation a lot, that you will lose if you try to compromise everything you believe in. Because you won't be able to keep up with dad. You would have to sacrifice the judgment of your parenthood, your resolve, your morals. You'd have to sacrifice it. You'd have to say, "Well, I want him to come over, and if I don't give him the freedom he wants, he won't come over, so I guess I'll just do what he wants." First of all, that'll blow up in your face. Because you'll get to a point where you won't be able to give him the freedom he wants. He'll push it too far. And second of all, you can't live with yourself. It's like, I'm allowing this. I've given up my parenthood.
Yeah.
I think you would be you'd be able to live with yourself if you said, "Here's my son. I love you. You're welcome here, and we're gonna we'll have a good relationship." But I got terms, I got conditions, and okay. he'll turn on you. I got to believe it. But hopefully it's a short term turn, and in time he will realize that mom is the one I can count on. And you know, one other piece of good news for you, dear.
Okay.
The Disney parent usually gets burned because the Disney parent, in being so permissive and so loose and free with all of the things they allow, eventually even they get pushed to the limit. And then the kid turns on them harder than he turns on the responsible parent, because at least he understands the responsible parent. She's been straight with him all the way along. The Disney parent just turned on him because he thought the Disney parent was his ally. God bless you, stand strong.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I never cease to wonder at is that this Jesus, Son of God, came born in a stable, escapes from a king. And his whole life he's kind of hunted down by the jealousy and the ambition of the scribes and Pharisees and the king. And he speaks and heals to the people. He raises the dead and exorcises demons. Nobody's grateful. He does all that. He continues to do all of that. And we still don't understand how much he loves us. Isn't that odd?
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is, go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
That's one of the great... I don't want to say it's a stumbling block. When a parent reorients, regroups, and this is typical. I mean, we're not God. We can't know exactly what to do all the time. And besides that, Jesus knew exactly what to do all the time. Did it work out for him? At least in the short term? No. Whenever you got another person in there, you make judgments. And then after 2, 3, 4 years, sometimes you have to rethink those judgments because you don't like the way it went. But then you change the rules, at least in the kids' eyes. You change the rules. You're not allowed to change the rules. What are you doing? And then that's what happens. It can get very, very fiery. Isn't that right, Chrissy, from Hamilton, Ohio, down there by Dayton? Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Nothing gaining on me that I know of.
I'm actually from your neck of the woods. Half of my life I spent in Uniontown, Ohio.
Oh, so. I played flag football in Uniontown, right there behind Uniontown Elementary.
Oh, that's where I went to school.
And I saw your picture there, by the way. They still had a picture there. You were, you were the only one that got kicked out like 7 times or something. I forget.
Yeah, that's right. I'm better now. I'm doing much better.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Wanted to call and tell me how wonderful I am.
Well, just your book.
Well, wait. No. But who wrote it?
I'm just teasing. You're right. You're right. No, I was calling because I was listening to Jason, and I've heard so many times, you know, the parents calling in with about their kids, and by no means, I am not even close to perfect. But I have an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old, and so my 11-year-old just got into middle school this year, and my toes are just getting wet with the cell phones and all the computer games that they find to play and stuff. And your book, because I'd already read it, just mentally gives me the strength to know that even when I'm most of the time the uncool parent, I'm probably making the right decision for my children at this point in time. Because it's very hard, I feel like, to be a traditional parent in our society right now. It's tricky.
If God came down, Chrissy, and whispered instructions into your ear on how to approach your 11-year-old about some freedom, some technological move you're going to make, do you think if you had God standing next to you whispering instructions into your ear that your kid would cooperate?
Well, no. I mean, I think it would...
But wait, it's God.
Well, it is God, but God's speaking to me. And so then I'm having to try and communicate what God's saying to my children. Do I instill my faith in my children? Very much so. I try to as hard as I can. But they're still kids. And most of the time when I see something, well, all the time when I say something they don't like, they get upset with me. And so then my heart hurts from that. But I know in my heart that I feel like I've made the right decision for them. Does that make sense?
What did God tell Adam and Eve?
Well, not to eat from a certain tree.
Yeah, you can have everything you want. Absolutely everything you want. Don't eat from that tree. So what'd they do?
Right.
Right. So my point is, God's instruction would be perfect. The problem is there is a free will on the other end of that. So when you as a mother say, this is what I'm going to do, and the culture is no longer with me. The culture flat out. And the dangerous part, Chrissy, is it used to be that more people agreed with you. And the craziness was found in Hollywood or the media or music. Well, now you got more and more parents surrendering to the culture. So
Well, that's right. And I've had like parents saying to me, well, why wouldn't you do this? Well, why?
Yeah.
And that goes back to your book again. Like, not only do you have your children pressuring you, but then you have other parents because they've given in to whatever it is your child might want, trying to push you to do it. And again, I go back to your book because your book talks so much about that and just gives me the strength to know, okay, I don't need to give in to them either.
You be the psychologist, Chrissy. Why would... Now, I'll give you a chance here. Don't blow it. This is your big chance. And as a matter of fact, some people have gotten their own shows because of this.
Oh, boy.
Why would some of these parents come to you, comment upon the way you're doing things, and imply that you're too strict or that you're delaying too much, and in fact, by implication, that they're doing it better? Now, why would they do that?
It's not that I'm talking negatively about anybody. I don't want to do that. I just feel like it's because they've succumbed to whatever their child was pushing and pushing and pushing on them to get, and they gave in, and then they feel it's that little bit of, you know, it's in the back of their mind that I shouldn't have done that, and I just did.
There it is.
Type of
thing. Bingo.
And so
you
they
got
want
it.
Support from their adult peers.
There you go. It's they know somewhere down deep, some of them know, I might be compromising too much here, so I'd better kind of justify what I've done. And I can justify it by saying Chrissy is going to have a blow up in her face. Chrissy's on the wrong track. Exactly.
Can I just say, too, that there was one sentence in your book that, I mean, it is with me every single day, and it's the line that says, it starts by being willing to be the 1 in 100 parent, and that's hard to do. It's hard to go off by yourself, but to be the 1 in 100 parent. And so I try and do that every day as best I can.
Let me put that in context, Chrissy. In context, I ask my clients, do you want your kid to be an average kid, similar to the kids in the culture, or would you like your kid to be exceptional, a 1 in 100 kid? Every parent says, oh, well, gee, given that choice, I want him to be a 1 in 100 kid. And then I say, are you willing then to be a 1 in 100 parent? It's that straightforward. That's no guarantee he'll be a 1 in 100 kid. And there will always be those parental vultures who will be waiting for you, Chrissy, for your kid to screw up. Because if your kid screws up, see, Chrissy?
Yeah.
I told you not giving him a cell phone when he was 12. I told you. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I commend you, my dear, for your strength, your incredible strength. And by the way, where did you get that book?
Can I say it? Well, I mean, I bought it online. That's what we do nowadays, right? We buy everything.
So
online.
You went to that place that ships it to you, not my website.
Well, right. I've been to your website, but no, I didn't get it off your website.
You know, it's signed on my website, don't you? It's signed.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, my parents know where your office is. I could just have them bring it on over, maybe.
Well, they could swing by for some. I have other books. Hey, bless your heart, honey. Thank you for such a delightful call. You stand strong.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. You stand strong. All righty. Kelly and Susan, don't go away. Don't go away. Don't lose confidence here. I'll get to you. I got to take a break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
We are in conflict with the surrounding culture. What's happened? Well, one thing that's happened is the collapse of Christendom. We can no longer count on the society surrounding us to reinforce or hold up or give sanction to some of those basic rules by which we live. Richard John Neuhaus, before he became Father Richard John Neuhaus, in his book Naked Public Square, he pointed out that every major social reform in American history was always argued about and fought over in terms of God, Scripture, the Church. And so the Church and religion were the carriers of social reform. We may be at a place where that's no longer the case, given the redefinition of marriage. And given the non-religious, anti-religious affiliation of leading homosexual activists.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Now is a great time to learn about CMF Curo as a pro-life Catholic healthcare option for your family. You can join anytime throughout the year. Plus, you'll experience an authentic Catholic community that cares about your health, spirit, mind, and body. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com to learn more about CMF Curo.
Bishop Sample, Seattle Diocese, just very recently, I think yesterday or the day before, very recently, came out and said that it is not permissible to give grief at church or to deny them being at church if they have medical reasons or concerns about mask wearing. Apparently, some people went to him and said, "You know, we've been getting a lot of pushback, and there's reasons why we can't wear masks or why we're reluctant to wear masks." And Bishop Sample said, "That's not right. That shouldn't be happening." Good for him. Okay, Susan, real quick, I'll give you the three places I refer folks. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. CatholicCounselors.com, where you can set up a phone appointment. Okay. That's Dr. Greg Popchak and some of his folks. CatholicCounselors, one word, .com. CatholicTherapists.com. CMFCuro.com is a website for people in your area. And I'm hearing that more and more of them are getting on to CatholicTherapist.com. I have a friend who's on it, and she says she gets a lot of business from it.
I'm glad to hear that.
CatholicPsychotherapists.com. I had a fella come up to me a couple years ago at a talk and said, hey, here's a website that that I'm on, and we have. Now, supposedly the people who get on these websites are very faithful in their Catholic worldview. So that's three options for you. And the other thing I always suggest is if you got a local radio affiliate, call them, and because they know they've come across good, solid therapists who would respect your Catholic morals and values, and they would know.
That in listening to you today, hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just listening to you, hearing some of the parents calling in has been very concerning to me because I have two children who are now 15 and 13. But 2 years ago, when my daughter was 13, she was having a lot of issues with the phone distracting her. And I just want to remind parents to stay firm because I've lived it for 2 years, and I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel because it was a battle. I mean, it would come to the point where I would go into her room at night, at bedtime, to take the phone out of her room, and she would tell me that she was going to kill herself, that she was very upset.
Well, my dear, I've seen that a lot.
I want to warn parents on that because they have to stay firm. Yep. If you can't be lazy, you can't listen to what other parents are doing with their kids, because if I told you half the things I'm seeing some of my children's friends doing on the internet that their parents have
clue,
it would shock them.
Oh, yeah. I sound like a voice in the wilderness of this until all these poor dear parents get
Absolutely.
Burned. Susan, thank you. I got to go to Kelly real quick.
Thank you.
Kelly from Copperas Cove. Copperas is a type of crab. I did not know that, but Eric Dumont let me know that. Now, quickly, what is it? And I know you and your sister don't agree on a whole lot morally. That's very common when somebody is faithfully Catholic. They clash up against the culture, and oftentimes their relatives are much more shaped by the culture than by any faith. So what happened recently that really blew things sky high?
Well, the recent issue is, I guess my sister and I both, have bipolar, and I'm seeking treatment and she's not. And I'm aware of that. And I know there's going to always be conflicts and issues just because of that. And she's been having an episode recently, which she's in denial about. And she was talking about some political issues. And I just kind of didn't respond, and when I didn't respond, she said, well, I feel like I shouldn't even talk to you because you just think I'm wrong all the time, and you won't say anything to me when, you know, I say things that you think are wrong. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I do that because I don't want to fight with you. Do I think you are wrong about this? Do I disagree with you? Yes, but we don't have to agree on everything to have a relationship. And I know we disagree, so I'd rather just not get into it. And then she said, she kind of blew up at me, and she said, well, I'm tired of everyone thinking I'm wrong. I'm tired of trying to live up to your expectations of me, and I'm failing at doing that, and I don't even know why we have a relationship, and I don't know if I want to even talk to you anymore. And so then I didn't respond. I you know, I was kind of shell-shocked. It just felt extreme to me that she would respond that way just because we disagreed over something. And she has since apologized, but I'm kind of at a point where personally in my own life, I've just been diagnosed with a chronic illness. I'm pregnant with my sixth baby who is possibly going to need open-heart surgery in a few months when she's born. And now my sister's throwing this at me, and she knows everything else that's going on. And I'm just like, I don't know that I'm in a place where I can address this with her. I don't know how.
I wouldn't bother to.
Okay.
This has been brewing, Kelly. It wasn't this episode. This has been brewing. She doesn't like how you look at things.
Right.
And even though you will not challenge her or dispute her or try to put her way down, you don't do that. You know better. She's so sensitive about it that she knows how you think.
Yeah.
So even if you don't say it, you think it. And therefore, you've already judged her.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem. I would wonder if the relationship you have with your sister is going to have to be kept so, I don't want to say superficial, but kind of pleasantly civil and avoiding any kind of opinions or giving her advice or even suspecting what she thinks. You'll have to probably avoid that because she's already told you. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Walk with God. Hold his hand tight.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.